The Euclidean submarine with Captain Bradford, Mrs. Gregory, and Jerry and Joan on board is nearly into the channel off Los Angeles Harbor. The time is late afternoon. Captain Bradford is working frantically to get a radio message to Johnson at their home radio station. The other Euclidean submarine hangs on close behind them, holding back the faster boat and maintaining their own position by means of a magnetic beam. Joan stands ready to handle any emergency that may arise, and the captain continues to call the Gregory home station.
J-12C, J-24Y, J-12C. Hello, J-12C. Hello, Johnson. J-24Y to J-12C. Hello, J-12C. Come in, J-12C. Hello. Well, that seems to be that.
Oh, it doesn't look very good, does it, Tex?
Not yet. We'll have to raise Johnson soon, or we'll be in the harbor and that other boat right with us.
But we don't dare go in the harbor with our other boat after us.
No, Jerry. We can't go into the harbor with this submarine, much less with another following.
I think we may safely avoid that.
How?
Simply by cruising around near the harbor until you locate Johnson.
It's about all we can do.
Have we plenty of fuel for that, Joan?
We have more than enough fuel to cruise all night at this speed.
Well, it'd be better for us after dark and better for Johnson to try to rescue us.
Yes, if we can raise him at all.
I think you are too impatient, Captain Bradford.
Joan, dear, Tex has been trying for nearly an hour and not a sound from Johnson.
That is easily explained, is it not? When we last heard from Johnson, he warned us that his plans were in danger. And almost simultaneously, we heard the voice of Thales, chief electrician of Euclidea. Then, no more of Johnson.
That's what I'm worrying about. What did that fellow Thales do to Johnson?
Well, they sure spoiled Johnson's radio set. We know that.
And it would take some time to repair or replace that radio set, would it not?
But, Joan, why doesn't Johnson get to another set somewhere and start calling us again? You say you're sure Thales wouldn't hurt Johnson any.
It is not reasonable to think that he would harm the one man who is the connecting link with Captain Bradford.
Then, if Johnson is unharmed, as you believe, I agree with Jerry's question. Why doesn't Johnson get to another radio set and let us know what he's doing?
Well, I know one answer to that. Johnson is probably sure that we were getting his message at the time Thales interrupted it. And he will figure that Thales will be watching for another call from us. It might sound reasonable from Johnson's point of view that he could do us more harm than good by calling and forcing us to answer him.
I quite agree with you, Captain.
Well, so do I. But I don't see where that helps us very much.
Isn't there some way we could send a message to Johnson, telling him something more of our situation than he can possibly guess?
Boy, now would be a swell time to use those homing pigeons.
Yes, wouldn't it? But old G-47 has them safely hidden away on the island.
There is nothing to be gained by speculating on the impossible.
Can't you try to get Johnson to answer you, Tex?
I've been doing that for over an hour.
Well, I mean, try to tell him in code that we'll be floating around loose in the water off San Pedro after dark tonight. That should get some kind of an answer out of him.
It would also let the Euclideans know a great deal about our plans.
Now listen, Joan. Just listen to me for a minute. You're scared to death of old G-47 and the rest of the Euclideans on the Magic Island. Oh, I'm not saying they can't do plenty of tricks, but we may just as well be prisoners back on the island if we've got to run around the bottom of the ocean in a submarine for the rest of our lives.
And I feel very much the same way, Jerry. We took a chance when we even set out to look for that island, and we've taken many chances in escaping twice. And I can't think of anything that would make the Euclideans more angry than stealing this submarine. Well, after we've gone that far, and now that we're within an hour's run of Los Angeles, I think it's time to take one more big chance and tell Johnson to answer us.
Well, you're the boss, Pat. This was your party when we started out. You believed you'd find Joan, and you were right in that. You think this is the time to press our luck? Here we go.
I am heartily in accord with your wishes. I will operate the microphone and the directional beam for you, Captain.
All right, I'll try Wilmington. Will you set your beam, Joan?
I'm doing so now.
I wish just once we could ask you to do something and you'd not find you already having it half done.
On Euclidea, we are taught to think very rapidly.
Well, don't forget it. It might come in mighty handy before this night's over.
Captain Bradford.
Yes, Joan?
Before you make another attempt to contact Johnson, I should like to make a suggestion.
Go to it.
We will use our magnetic bombs to hold the other submarine powerless while we escape from this one.
Yes, we understand that, Joan.
Then it is absolutely necessary that Johnson come out to rescue us in a boat made entirely of non-metallic materials.
That's right. And if he doesn't, well, he'll get magnetized along with the rest of us. And he'll be in it just as bad as we are.
But, Joan, you said that the magnetic beam from the other submarine would draw the bombs to them, and that we wouldn't be affected by them.
That is true. We will not be affected by magnets from the other submarine.
Then where can the magnetism come from that would harm Johnson's boat?
You have forgotten the plane flying over us.
Golly, Whiskers.
Oh, Tex, that plane.
I sure forgot it for the minute.
But we don't see the shadow on the water now. Oh, are you sure it's still following us?
Positive.
I don't see the shadow.
The sun is now much lower. The plane is undoubtedly directly over us, but its shadow is a great distance, probably several hundred feet ahead of us.
You think the plane is still right over us?
You may believe that I know that, Captain. The Euclidean plane is directly over us.
But he can't see us in the water, can he?
Easily. His prism reflectors will pierce a far greater depth of water than we now maintain.
That's not so good. He can always drop some of those magnetic bombs and anchor any boat Johnson brings out. Even a wooden one with a small motor.
Precisely.
But after dark, what good will his reflectors do then?
Then he will depend on his magnetic compass. The beam from the submarine holding fast the stern of this boat naturally ends at this boat. Even an ordinary compass in an ordinary airplane would show whether the pilot was over the end of that beam.
Then that plane will be flying over us, even when Johnson comes out to rescue us tonight.
Afraid so, Pat.
But what will he do to us?
We will come to no harm if we escape the magnetism. I have explained that Violus has no place with the Euclideans.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Me too.
Well, right or wrong, we're going to have to take a chance on it. Now, everybody keep quiet. I'll see what I can do with this radio. Ready, Joan? 3 meters.
3 meters. Ready, Captain.
J-24Y to J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. Get this, J-12C. Answer at once. J-12C. Answer J-24Y at once. Regardless of reason for your silence. Answer at once. J-24Y calling J-12C. Answer at once.
He may not even be hearing you.
Oh, keep trying, Tex. We've got to raise him very soon, or it'll be too late.
Right, Pat. Joan, we may need more than one wavelength. There's no way of knowing what sort of set, if any, Johnson has now. Will you try various bands? Change the set over after I complete each call and wait a few seconds for an answer?
I will make the changes, Captain. Ready?
Ready. J-24Y to J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. Answer at once, J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. Answer at once, J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. J-24Y to J-12C. Answer at once, J-12C.
J-24Y. Go ahead.
It's Johnson.
Oh, Tex, it is.
Silence.
J-24Y to J-12C. Get every word of this. May not be able to repeat. Using only 3/4 of our power. Ready. Copy. Remember. The wooden vessel. When you bring formula to the fusing point, greatest danger, intermediate point, when you see one ingredient, precipitate, holy black, move fast, limited time. That's all. No questions. J-24Y to J-12C. That's all.
J-12C, J-24Y. Got your message. We'll follow instructions. We'll have formula completed when you call for it. That is all. J-12C.
Well, he got it. Every word of it.
Did you actually send Johnson a code message then, Captain?
I certainly did. A little slow about it, as I had to figure it out and jot it down as I went along, but he got it.
That's more than I did. You sure think fast, Tex.
I told you, Joan. Tex and Johnson are the two finest men in the world on extemporaneous code messages.
A few months ago, I would have questioned that, as the Euclideans claim they are the finest. But now, I believe you.
Well, I didn't get anything out of it.
All I got was the 3/4.
Careful, Pat. Joan, is it safe to talk now?
Perfectly safe, Captain. I have insulated us against all possible communication.
All right, then here's the message. Now, look. I told Johnson we were using only 3/4 of our power.
And that means the third and fourth words in the message.
That's right, Pap. You're not so slow yourself. And here's the message. Now I'll read it all. Then just the third and fourth words. Remember the wooden vessel when you bring formula to the fusing point. Greatest danger, intermediate point, when you see one ingredient precipitate. Holy black. Move fast. Limited time. Now, did you get it?
Not me.
You concealed it well, Captain. What is the message?
Well, now watch. I'll cross out every first and second word and read what's left. Wooden vessel, bring formula, fusing point, intermediate point, C1, holy black, limited time.
I got it. Johnson's going to meet us halfway with a wooden boat as soon as it gets dark.
Oh, splendid work, Tex.
It is indeed excellent, Captain Bradford. But I fail to understand the appointed place.
Well, intermediate point means halfway. And C1 means our old pigeon training course. Course number one to Catalina.
Oh, that covers it, Tex. Johnson will be prepared to meet us with a sailboat halfway to Catalina on our old training course as soon as it's completely dark.
That's it, Pat. I don't see how it can miss.
Oh, it seems almost too much. We're within a few minutes of the harbor, and Johnson will be out to meet us. And in a few hours, it'll be all over.
Remember that it is still daylight, and we have several hours before the appointed time.
That's a swell thing to bring up, just when I was feeling good. We've got to chase around for hours with that other sub hanging on our tail.
Yes, I had nearly forgotten that.
No, I hadn't, but it doesn't matter one way or the other. We're in no danger from that boat now.
What was that?
I didn't notice anything.
Neither did I.
Silence.
I heard it then, all right.
That is another musical note from Euclidia. Octavo is near our keynote with his beam. We must put on emergency speed and try to shake off that beam.
You mean they're finding us with one of those destructive musical notes?
I thought I felt the submarine shake.
You did. Our only hope lies in changing our position constantly until after dark. If that note finds us squarely, Johnson will never find us.